So thank you so much, Nishkin Chaitanya Prabhu, for allowing me to give the Gita Jayanti theme class. So the topic of today's talk is the appearance of Bhagavad Gita. And if I get a little passionate, forgive me, because it's probably my favorite topic. So before we do the Mangalacharana prayers that go with the Gita, I would like all of you to contemplate two questions, because these are the two questions that I'm going to be kind of like sharing my insights on, but I'd like you to have thought about them beforehand. One is, why do you think the Bhagavad Gita appeared? What's the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita's appearance? And the second is, how do you think we can get the best advantage, the greatest benefit from the Bhagavad Gita's appearance? Because these are the two topics that is going to be forming the foundation of the topic of today's talk. And I'd like all of you to think about it before I share my insights. Okay, so just very briefly, please, the ladies, shout out one or two reasons why you think Bhagavad Gita appeared. To establish Dharma and righteousness. Any suggestions from the men? Go ahead. To give shelter to the devotees, yes. Well, both yes, but that's wrong the line I'm going to go. And how do you think we can best take advantage of the Gita's appearance, ladies? Okay, practice it, so lead by example, and then tell others about it. Or maybe give it out, distribute it. Book Marathon Kijai, yeah? Distribute it. Men, how do we think we can best take advantage of the Gita, of the Gita's appearance? Pardon? Okay, tell everyone else about Bhagavad Gita, yes? Worship the Gita with your intelligence. How would you do that, Ram Lakshmana? Through discussing the Gita. Oh my God, you guys are just like reading my thoughts. Okay, so now let's get some evidences. Let's get into the evidences. So these are the questions we're going to answer today. Oh, so sorry. Can you do it for me? I thought it was on slideshow. I'm not quite sure what's going on. I'm not sure why that's showing like that. Yeah, but that's going to go really fast at its own pace. Okay, now, fantastic. Yeah. Thank you. So, this is actually Srila Prabhupada's opening sentence to all his Bhagavad Gita purports. So it's the opening sentence to chapter 1, text 1. And I love this sentence, and I love the second sentence too. So let's read it together. Bhagavad Gita is the widely read theistic science summarized in the Gita Mahatmya, glorification of the Gita. You may not know it, but this sentence holds the clue to why the Bhagavad Gita appeared. Okay. Now the whole sentence is actually packed with meaning. And I'm just going to give a little plug for the fact that I began doing sentence by sentence Gita discussion. So I've done this sentence already. It's on my Facebook. But we're just going to focus on one part of this sentence for today's discussion, because I've got loads I want to share with you. So we're going to focus on this part. Bhagavad Gita is summarized in the Gita Mahatmya, glorification of the Gita. Just that part. Okay? Is that okay? The part that I've put in bold and underlined. So another way of putting that, Bhagavad Gita is summarized in the Gita Mahatmya, is to say the summary of the Gita is in the Gita Mahatmya. Is that correct? Does that capture the same meaning? Put up your hands if you don't think that captures the meaning. Okay, so we're all in agreement. The summary of the Bhagavad Gita is in the Gita Mahatmya. Now that section is potent with meaning if we can understand the answer to three questions. What is the summary of the Gita? What is the Gita Mahatmya Srila Prabhupada is referring to? And where in the Gita Mahatmya can we find the summary of the Gita? Prabhupada doesn't tell us these things just for the sake of filling up space. He's telling us because it's potent with meaning. So, ladies, what is the summary of the Gita? You can, I don't mind if you know. Sarvadharma Prichacha. Gentlemen, does anyone agree or disagree with that? What is the summary of the Gita? Man Manabhava Mad Bhakto. Definitely could be. So let's look. So now this is, if you go to 1866, and you can actually, if you got your Gitas, go to 1866, so use your Veda bases. But this is from the very first paragraph of 1866. And what is the verse 1866? Sarvadharma Prichacha. Surrender unto me, and I will protect you from all sinful reactions. And in halfway down the first paragraph, Prabhupada writes this sentence. So let's read it. We can read together. Now, in summarizing Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that Arjuna should give up all the processes that have been explained to him. He should simply surrender to Krishna. That surrender will save him from all kinds of sinful reactions, for the Lord personally promises to protect him. So see how Prabhupada is using a similar word. In fact, it's the root word is the same. Summarizing. In the Gita 1.1, he says summarized, and here he's saying summarizing. So he's telling us, this verse is the summary of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna telling us, surrender to me and I will protect you from all sinful reactions, is the summary. It's the essential message that Krishna spoke the Gita to convey to us. I have the competency, the power, and the will to protect you if you will just surrender to me. Now, the thing is, reading this for years and years and years, I really hadn't the foggiest idea what he meant by surrender. Did I have to do what they do in the cowboy movies and stand in front of the deities like this and say, Krishna, I surrender? Is that why we put our hands up in kirtan? Is it like, okay, I give in? Is it I hand over all my wealth? Is it I join the ashram? Is it I get out there and do, you know, book distribution? What exactly do I have to do to get Krishna's protection? Because frankly, this is a very scary world we live in, and I want some protection. So exactly what do I have to do to get that protection? Now, in the very first sentence that we just looked at, Bhagavad Gita 1.1, Prabhupada is giving us a clue. Because he's telling us this meaning is found in the Gita Mahatmya. And if we take the trouble to find that meaning in the Gita Mahatmya, we'll get a very clear understanding exactly how to surrender. So first of all, we have to know what is the Gita Mahatmya. I always go to the ladies first because they're not used to speaking and men are more comfortable speaking, so I'd like to make them speak a little bit first. So ladies, what is the Gita Mahatmya? If you know, I don't mind if you know, say it. Chanti, I know you know. Do we have this thing to go around? Oh, okay. Oh, Jai, she should rather go to the Nanda Kujai. Okay, so I'll just repeat what Janti said so far, because for the purpose of people listening online. She said there are two Gita Mahatmyas. There is one, which is a chapter from the Padma Purana, which Lord Shiva is speaking to Parvati, glorifying the Gita. And what is that? Is it a book or what? Is that a book or is it a chapter? It's verses. It's seven verses. It's like a poem. The seven verses. And that Gita Mahatmya, Prabhupada puts at the very end of his Gita. So if you physically have Gita in front of you, 1.1 is here. You flip back a page and you'll see Gita Mahatmya. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. And then we'll see something which is not Gita Mahatmya. If any of you have your Gitas, you can go back. What do you see just before 3? Does anyone know? If you go through your Gitas backwards, is 1866. Prabhupada puts 1866. And then just before 1866, he puts Gita Mahatmya 2. So that should give us a clue in and of itself when he says you'll find the summary of the Gita in the Gita Mahatmya. The fact that Srila Prabhupada positions Sarvadharma, which we know is the summary, right after Gita Mahatmya 2, should give us a clue that that's the verse he's thinking of in the Gita Mahatmya. That's the verse he's thinking of contains the summary of the Gita. So let's have a look at Gita Mahatmya 2. Now, I've just copied and pasted this from the Bhagavad Gita introduction. So we can read it together. Gita dhyana shilasya pranayama parasya cha neva shantihi papani purva janma kritani cha. If one reads Bhagavad Gita very sincerely and with all seriousness, then by the grace of the Lord, the reactions of his past misdeeds will not act upon him. Gita Mahatmya 2. The Lord says very loudly in the last portion of Bhagavad Gita, 1866, Sarvadharma Parichatcha Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Pabebyo Mokshay Shami Masuchaha. Now, Prabhupada is saying the meaning of Sarvadharma in 1.1, he's saying the meaning of Sarvadharma is exactly the same as the meaning of the Gita Mahatmya verse. And we can see that in part because Shankaracharya is saying if you read Gita very seriously and sincerely, Krishna will protect you from all your sinful reactions. And 1866, it says if you surrender, Krishna, will protect you from all sinful reactions. So the last part is very easy. The bit that we may have to think about is that he doesn't use the word surrender in Gita Mahatmya 2. But instead, what he's doing is he's giving his explanation of surrender. He's saying, if you read Gita seriously and sincerely, and in the very first sentence of Prabhupada's 1.1 Gita purport, Prabhupada is saying, I approve of this. I approve of his understanding. He's got it right. I agree with him. So now we have a much clearer idea of what we have to do to get Krishna's protection. And we also have a clear idea that that's Krishna's main reason for speaking the Gita. The main reason for speaking the Gita is this is at the cusp of Kali Yuga. Boy, are we guys in trouble. Our food is poisoned. Our air is poisoned. Our stratosphere is poisoned. Our minds are poisoned. Our politicians, our news media, everyone lies to us. You know, there is havoc in our world. And Krishna is saying, I'm really happy to protect you. I've come in the form of my Bhagavad Gita just to protect you. So let's get on with it. I just want to I forget what it's called. Graph, yeah, table form. So 1866 says surrender to Krishna, and then Krishna will protect us. And what does Gita Mahatmya 2 say? We can say it a little bit loud if you like. Yes, and what will happen? Yes. So now we're going to go to the second sentence of Prabhupada's purport, Gita 1.1. Because even that, we may kind of like make this more difficult for ourselves than it has to be. What does it mean to read Gita seriously and sincerely? We might think, well, it means you have to memorize the Gita or you have to pass, you know, Bhakti Vaibhava or, okay, maybe Bhakti Sava Boma, but you have to do something very difficult to read Gita seriously and sincerely. You have to know, memorize at least 30 verses, possibly 60 verses, before you can get Krishna's protection. This has got to be something really hard that just any Joe blogs off the streets can't just easily do. So just in case we're thinking that like that, just in case we're making our lives much more difficult than it really needs to be, Prabhupada writes this second sentence. So these are the two sentences together. We're going to focus on the second sentence, but we'll read both together to get the flow. You can read yourselves too, because the more actively you engage with the matter, the more likely it's going to actually connect with your heart. Bhagavad Gita is the widely read theistic science summarized in the Gita Mahatmya, glorification of the Gita. There it says that one should read Bhagavad Gita very scrutinizingly with the help of a person who is a devotee of Sri Krishna and try to understand it without personally motivated interpretations. So, ladies, when Prabhupada says, there it says, what's he talking about? Now, someone else other than Jayanti. I know you know. What, a good Jagatpriya? Oh, Samin? Gita Mahatmya. Which verse is he referring to? Gita Mahatmya too, because that's the verse he's just been talking. That's the one he's just been referring to already. Do any of the gentlemen disagree? Or do you all have the same opinion? Okay, so there it says, he's referring to Gita Mahatmya too. Now, Gita Mahatmya too just said read Gita sincerely and with all seriousness. But in this sentence, Srila Prabhupada is making it very clear to us what's meant by read Gita seriously and with all sincerity. It doesn't mean you have to memorize 60 verses. It doesn't mean you have to pass back to Vaibhava. It doesn't mean you have to memorize it. He's going to unpack it for us. This is all we have to do to get Krishna's protection. So let's read that second sentence. There it says, one should read Bhagavad Gita very scrutinizingly. First thing, scrutinizingly. With the help of a person who's a devotee of Sri Krishna. Two, with the help of a devotee. And try to understand it. He doesn't say understand it. He says try to understand. He really makes it easy. We don't even have to properly understand. We just have to try to understand it. Without personally motivated interpretations. So, in the little Gita sentence by sentence video I put up, I've really went into these four things. It's on my Facebook page, but we don't have time necessarily to go into these four things today. But I've unpacked this sentence really thoroughly. I haven't put it up yet. I will put it up. I will put up a video unpacking this one sentence, because this sentence is pregnant with meaning. We have to understand it correctly. It's very easy, but we have to know what it means to read Gita scrutinizingly. We have to know what it means to get the help of a devotee. We have to know what it means to try to understand. We have to know what it means to try to understand without personally motivated interpretations. If we can understand those four things very clearly, we can be assured of Krishna's protection. And if we actually apply it, we just do it 20 minutes a day, half an hour a day, discuss Gita scrutinizingly with the help of a devotee and try to understand it without personally motivated interpretations. This is an unpacking of surrender. And Krishna promises, you surrender to me, I will protect you. And this doesn't just apply to us personally, and it doesn't matter how traumatic our lives are. When I started doing this, boy, my life was traumatic in every sense of the word. But there's people whose lives are much more traumatic than mine was. You know, it doesn't matter who. Krishna's not giving any kind of like qualifications. Well, you can't be in a war-torn country. You can't have experienced childhood abuse. And I can't deal with those things. You can't be bankrupt. You can't be having severe health problems. You can't be depressed. I won't take on that kind of person. I'll only protect people who are more or less okay. No, he says anyone who does this, he will protect us. And this doesn't just act for us personally, it acts for us institutionally, it acts for us nationally, socially. If an institution, if a company, if a society agrees to do this, make this central to their culture, Krishna says, I will intervene and I will protect you from whatever's coming at you, or is already coming at you, come at you, or has in the past come at you. I will protect you. So the reason for the appearance of Bhagavad Gita is to protect us. So this is basically, I'm going to go on. This is a little excerpt from a lecture by Srila Prabhupada, which I kind of felt supported this. We can read it together. So if we study Krishna science with great attention, then the result will be that we shall be free from the reaction of our activities. This point comes up so many times. Okay, now I want to move on to another sentence in the Bhagavad Gita, 9.1. This is, I think, the opening sentence to Srila Prabhupada's 9.1 purport. Let's read it together. The messages of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are full of potencies, and these potencies can be realized if topics regarding the Supreme Godhead are discussed amongst devotees. So the messages of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are full of potencies. Ladies, what does he mean by potencies, and what are those potencies? Just give me a few ideas. Please call it. Gopi, you should be calling out. Christina, you should be calling out. Samin, you should be calling out. Come on, you guys. Deviani, you should be calling out. Jagat Priya, Jayanti, come on, call out some things. What are the potencies? Some potencies. Will it free us? Does it have the energy or the power to free us from suffering? Yeah? Gentlemen, any other potency? So it's got one. It's got the power to free us from suffering. In fact, Nectar of Devotion says that's the first thing that happens. If you're connecting, the first thing that's going to happen is your suffering is going to stop. Any other potencies you could be thinking about, Bhagavad Gita Prabhu? Oh, go ahead. Pardon? Okay, it purifies the heart. It cleanses us from sinful reactions. It gives us both knowledge and renunciation. So we'll come, you said renunciation, so we'll start feeling detached. And knowledge, we'll start realizing what we should and shouldn't be doing. We'll have better judgment and we'll be less attached, less addicted. And it'll reestablish us in our relationship with Krishna. It has the potency to do all these things. But how are we going to activate those potencies, ladies? From this quote, it's just right there. How are these? Are these potencies going to act on us if we just read passively or we sit passively in a class and just listen? How are these potencies going to start acting on us? We have to discuss it. Yes, it has to be discussed. You know, then the potencies begin acting. If you've been in Krishna consciousness for years and years and years, and you're still depressed and you're reading your Gita, you're not activating the potency. We have an improving our Sarasanga seminar, which is sharing all the quotes from Prabhupada about how to discuss so you activate these potencies. And none of it is rocket science, but it's about changing some ingrained bad habits we have. And one of them is passive hearing. Not analyzing, not scrutinizing, just skimming over. These are very bad habits that prevent us from connecting with the potencies, the power of the Gita. So that's one sentence I wanted to share with you, but I'd like to share another sentence. Now, this is from the second paragraph of Prabhupada's 7.16 purport. For those of you who know, who are familiar with 7.16, is talking about the four types of Sukritinas who surrendered to him. For years and years and years, when I joined, everyone told me, oh, you're one of the Sukritinas. Yeah, you're the guy who's, you know, suffering in trouble. And I believed them. And then till this, the sentence I put large, I read this one day and it connected with me. And I thought, I'm not a Sukritina. You know, if you read 7.16 purport, the first paragraph, Prabhupada talks about the Sukritinas. He says they're already more or less following the rules and regulations of religious life. I wasn't following the rules and regulations of religious life. I was a Naradama, you know. But this sentence, let's read the whole paragraph because this sentence really excites me. If I'm getting really excited, please forgive me. So we'll read this whole paragraph. We're going to focus on the bit that starts with, as far as the miscreants are concerned. We're going to focus on that, but we'll read all of it to get it in context. When these four kinds of persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service and are completely purified by the association of a pure devotee, they also become pure devotees. So he's referring to the Sukritinas, the people who more or less already follow the rules and regulations of religious life. And there's plenty of such people in our movement. But I wasn't one of them. And that's why I was struggling like anything. Let's read about the second kind of the discreteness. As far as the miscreants are concerned, for them, devotional service is very difficult because their lives are selfish, irregular, and without spiritual goals. But even some of them, by chance, when they come in contact with a pure devotee, also become pure devotees. So let's look at this. Selfish, irregular, and without spiritual goals. Spiritual goal is to satisfy Krishna, to be with Krishna. How many of you joined authentically because you had a deep interest to know Krishna, love him, and be with him? How many you did? Fantastic, because there are Sukritanas amongst us. How many of you joined like me? Because you just wanted to stop suffering. You wanted freedom from suffering. That's not a spiritual goal, Prabhus. That's a material goal. How many of you joined because you thought, I can't make it in the material world, but the Hare Krishna seemed like a small society. Maybe I'll become a big man or a big woman in a small pond. Anyone? No, I'm sure none of you thought like, oh yeah, you're so honest, I love you. yeah, so, but, you know, desire for a position or stability, some material stability, or even desire for freedom from suffering, these are not spiritual goals. These are the goals that we miscreants bring with us. How many of you find it really hard to maintain regulation? You struggle like anything to go to bed at the same time, get up, and you know, me too, you know. How many of you are basically, I mean, you don't have to put your hand up, but I know I am. I'm basically selfish. There's nothing that I do which isn't somehow or other selfishly motivated. You know, if I see the value in it to me, I'll do it. And if I don't see the value, like when Prabhupada says, you know, we should cook even if we're not hungry, we should cook for Krishna's pleasure. That's not me. I cook when I'm hungry. And then I offer it to Krishna. So if we have these characteristics, we're going to be struggling in spiritual life. But Prabhupada tells us, even some of them, by chance, when they come in contact with a pure devotee, also become pure devotees. So the key to our success, if we're miscreants, is the contact with the pure devotee. Now, we have to understand what that means. We have to analyze that. Because contact with a pure devotee doesn't mean to bump into him or to have got his book and then put it on our shelves and that's it. We have to know what he means by contact with the pure devotee. If we want to go from being a zero to a hero, if we want to go from being a miscreant to a pure devotee, we have to know the secret ingredient for us. So we're going to analyze a little bit with evidence what it means to come in contact with a pure devotee. So this is a quote from Bhagavatam 3:25-27 purport. The first one, let's hear it, read it. Hearing or associating with devotees is the most important function for self-realization. Now, in my mind, this sentence gives us a clue, because contact and association, I think that Prabhupada is using contact to mean association. And in this sentence, he's telling us what he means by association. It means to hear from the pure devotee. Now, you may say, I don't agree with that. He's giving us two alternatives. We can either hear or we can associate. I understand he means associating means to hear. And my second evidence is from Bhagavatam 2.9.31. He says, the first is association with devotees. And then in parentheses, what does he put? Hearing. So he's clarifying what he means by associating. When I say associate, it doesn't mean sit down and take prasadam together. It doesn't mean, you know, to go play football together or to whatever, have a little sangha. It means to hear the pure devotee. It means to hear the pure devotee. That's sangha. That's sadhu sangha. And that is the key element that someone who's coming from a miscreant background needs if they want to make it in spiritual life. Without really focusing on this hearing from Srila Prabhupada, we will fall away. ISKCON does have a high turnover rate. The turnover rate doesn't happen amongst the Sukritanas. It happens amongst those of us who come from a discretana background. We come, we struggle, we leave, and we think it didn't work for me. But it does work. It works for everybody. It's come here to protect us. But we just have to know how to take that protection. We have to hear with Srila Prabhupada's purports. So this is a little quote from 11.3.30. And if we're hearing properly, if we know how to hear properly, this quote tells us the results we should be experiencing. If we're not experiencing these results, then we just need to learn how to hear properly. So let's read this together. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord. This process is most purifying. As devotees thus develop their loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. And by thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. I'd just like to spend a little time looking at this verse. If we're hearing and chanting properly, if we're doing it correctly, this is what we should be experiencing. The first is we should be experiencing development of loving friendships. How many of us are experiencing loving, fulfilling friendships in the society of devotees? Wonderful, 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 wonderful. How many feel alienated, feel alone, don't feel that I've been around for years and years and years, and I don't think anyone knows me or really cares about me? Even those of you online. It's because if we're feeling like that, the solution is we have to learn and apply the correct method of associating or hearing. If we get that right, we'll experience our loving relationships developing. The next thing, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. How many devotees, after years and years, are feeling that in their relationships with others, both of them are experiencing husband and wife, parent and child, mentor and mentee, temple commander and temple resident, you know, temple president and everyone else. Jaya Shishi Radha Gokulananda. In our mutual dealings, are we all feeling mutual happiness and satisfaction? Put up your hands if you are. Wonderful. That means you're hearing right and you're associating right. If we're not, the key is to how we're hearing, how we're associating, and associating means hearing. If we get that right, this will happen. Encouraging one another. How many do you have you feel that you feel encouraged by other devotees and that in your dealings with other devotees, you're encouraging? How many, let's break it up. How many feel encouraged? Wonderful. You're all the ladies from our Sangha, except a few of you. How many feel that you give encouragement to others? Wonderful. Very nice. If we're not on either of those two counts, we have to improve the hearing. And how many feel it's getting at least more hopeful? You're getting more hopeful about giving up sense gratification. You feel this insight. You might actually manage it one day. Anyone feel that? I know that's a hard one. Oh, very nice. I'm still carrying on with my hearing. I feel hopeful. It's not happened yet, but I do feel hopeful. So, I've really rattled through this class because I wanted to share with you all the quotes I have, and I was told I had to stop on time. So I'm sorry if I've gone through at a, you know, really fast pace. But this morning as I was getting ready, I just had Prabhupada lectures on, and I heard this, and I thought, God, I have to add this. I have to add this. The whole lecture is incredible. But I just took out a little snippet from it to share. So I know it's bullet pointed, but it's all one lecture, and it goes on to the next slide. So let's read this together, because it's on the same topic. So Krishna comes to save us and give us his instruction so that after his disappearance from this world, people will take advantage of his instruction and make his life perfect. This is Bhagavad Gita. Let's just pause here. Prabhupada is telling us why Bhagavad Gita appeared. It's come to save us. That's why it's come. And if we just take advantage of the Gita, we'll make our lives perfect. You know, everyone is fearful. We should, if we're not fearful in this world, we're stupid. Only two types of people aren't fearful in this world. The complete fool and the person who's under Krishna's protection and knows it, feels it. You know, otherwise we should be fearful. But Krishna's come to save us. He's the cavalry in the form of that little Gita. He's the U.S. Army. No, they're the bad guys. You know, he's the good guy. He's come to save us. And if we take it, our lives will be perfect. So let's carry on. But if we misuse our intelligence and do not take advice from Krishna and manufacture so many plans for prosperity, that will all fail. Mogasha moga karmano moga gyana vicheta shaha. 9:12. But if we think, no, I've got no time for scrutinizing the Gita. I've got no time in my day. You know, I've got busy meetings to go to. I've got work to go to. I've got so many important things to do. These are all my plans for making my life successful and protecting myself. I'm too busy for the Gita. Prabhupada's saying, all your plans will fail. They may seem to work while your karma works, but as soon as your karma's run out, you'll be like Prince Andrew. You'll be in the dog's house. You'll be finished. One minute you'll be top of the world, and you don't know when your karma is going to run out. None of us know. And we'll fail, because our karma at some point will run out, and we will fail. The material energy is designed to frustrate us, unless we take shelter of Krishna. So we choose to use our big intelligence for filling our day up with everything but discussing Gita, ultimately all our plans will fail. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruit of activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. So Prabhupada is giving us the translation of 9:12. He's saying, if you think you can make it on your own, you're deluded. This is a demonic way of thinking. If you think you can make it without taking shelter of Bhagavad Gita, you're mistaken. And your desire for liberation will fail. Your big business plans will fail. Everything will fail. Now, this is part of the same lecture. That is mogasha. Moga means frustrated. They will be frustrated. Mogasha. Anyone who does not take the direction of Krishna, then whatever he's hoping, that will be frustrated. Taking direction from Krishna means scrutinizing Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna speaking to us. Trying to understand it without personally motivated interpretations, trying to understand it seriously and sincerely, that is the beginning of us taking direction from Krishna. If we choose not to, then all our hopes and plans will turn to dust. Mogasha, moga kamana, and whatever he's planning, I will do like this, he will do like that, that will not stay, because the maya is there. Devi Hieshu Gunamai Mama Maya Durachaya. Maya will kill all your plans. Mam Evaye Prapajante Mayam Etam Tarantite. Bhagavad Gita 7:14. And then he gives the translation. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. And if you follow Krishna and do accordingly, then you will not be frustrated. Your life will be successful. This is the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. If we want to succeed in our plans for material success, for freedom from suffering, or to even achieve love of God, none of our plans will work if we don't take shelter of the Gita. And all of our plans will work if we invite Krishna into our lives to protect us from Maya, who is out there to frustrate us. This is the most intelligent, highest leverage part activity that we can include in our day. I haven't put all the quotes in this slide. Prabhupada wanted husband and wife to do it half an hour a day. He said, this is our mission, that everyone in your own home do it half an hour a day. He wanted devotees in the temple to do it, to not just sit passively in a class like we are now, this is okay, but we need to make separate times for Easter Goshtis, Prabhupada called it. Easter Goshti, he said, is when two or three devotees come together and discuss the Shastra. If we don't do this, we're just making a stick for our own backs. So I just give a little plug for the Improving Our Sadhusangha webpage. On that, there's 16 principles, all evidences from Prabhupada. We didn't come up with an idea. We were going through a difficult time in our lives. We began hearing things that we thought, oh, let me try that. It began working for us. We've collated those instructions onto the Sadhusangha webpage. It's under the principles. We've shared with you the ways that we applied those instructions and how it began working for us under the useful tips. We invite you to please look at it. We do give seminars on this once a year. We invite you to come to the seminar and take the follow-up coaching. The coaching is nothing is rocket science. It's about changing our current habits, our bad habits, so like passive hearing, questioning before we understand, you know, bad body language. It's about making our discussions of the Gita effective so that we ignite the Gita's potency to protect us and make us happy and perfect in our lives. I can stop, but I've got 5 more minutes, so I'm going to share with you some additional evidences I put in, and then I will stop as soon as the 5 minutes go, open up for questions and comments. These are some extra evidences from Prabhupada. These are some of the evidences that really got me going on this discussion. But he told me to stop at 5:30 so there can be discussion for 15 minutes. So I will do that, actually, because I didn't do so interactive. I was pelting through the presentation. So please read this together. Try to always study our books and see our philosophy from different lights of directions. Become convinced yourself of this knowledge, and without a doubt, all of your difficulties of mind will disappear forever, and you will see Krishna face to face. Now, I heard this, and it kind of impacted me back in 1996, or just before, that's when I started doing this discussions, basically. And at that time, you know, I mean, I'm not ashamed of it now, it's my history. I was quite suicidal, actually. I was deeply depressed to the point of suicidal. Now, you don't have to tell me if you're suicidal, but has anyone here experienced depression, anxiety, fear, a panic? Prabhupada promises, if you study his books and see the books, scrutinize it from different lights of direction. He uses this phrase a lot, different lights of direction, different angles of vision is another phrase he uses, different perspectives. You know, this is like scrutinizing something. That word came up in the Gita. Look at it from different angles of vision. It's not my way or the highway. It's not one way is right and everything else is wrong. When we come together, we see it from different perspectives. He says, if we do like this, we'll become really convinced that Krishna will protect me and all the difficulties of our mind will disappear. And it's true, it's worked. It works. And if you're experiencing any difficulty, any depression, please take this seriously. I haven't seen, I mean, I see the deities, but to tell you the truth, I don't see Krishna, I see deities. But I have faith because the difficulties of my mind have disappeared. If I continue associating with Prabhupada like this, one day in one life, I will see Krishna. Because this first part has come true. So that's one evidence I wanted to share with you. I don't know if we've got time. This is a long one. Okay. Do we have time to just read one more? Yeah? Okay. So this is from 215 purport. Okay? It's maybe a little bit small, but you can get it up on your smartphones or whatever if you can't read this. Therefore, one should first of all hear about the Lord. When one has perfectly and scrutinizingly heard, he must glorify his acts and deeds. So you first hear, then you repeat. You hear, you repeat. That's glorification. Shravanam, kirtanam. Thus it will become possible to remember constantly the transcendental nature of the Lord. If you hear and you repeat, then you'll be able to remember. Hearing about and glorifying the Lord are identical with the transcendental nature of the Lord. And by so doing, one will always be in the association of the Lord. This brings freedom from all sorts of fear. This brings freedom from all sorts of fear. If we're in anxiety and what will happen, what will happen. If we hear about, glorify Krishna, we'll come in Krishna's, under his shelter, in his protection. And we won't need to be frightened. The Lord is the Supersoul, Paramatma, present in the hearts of all living beings. And thus, by the above hearing and glorifying process, the Lord invites the association of all in his creation. This process of hearing about and glorifying the Lord is applicable for everyone, whoever he may be, and it will lead one to the ultimate success in everything in which one may be engaged by providence. Did you hear that? If you're a book distributor, if you hear about and glorify Krishna, you become the best book distributor. I think we've got the best one right here. If you're a mother, if you hear about and glorify Krishna every day, do it with your child, you'll become a very good mother. If you're a businessman, if you hear about and glorify Krishna, you'll become a very successful businessman. Whatever you're doing, you don't have to be living in the temple. You can be outside, but you every day you hear about, glorify Krishna. Whatever you're doing, Prabhupada says, you will achieve success in everything in which one may be engaged by providence. Everyone wants to be free from all kinds of fear, and everyone wants the fullest extent of happiness in life. The perfect process for achieving this here and now is recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Is it true? Do we all want to be ultimate full extent of happiness? Do we want to be free from all miseries? Is it true what Prabhupada is saying? Prabhupada is telling us, the Bhagavatam is telling us how to achieve it. The perfect process for achieving this isn't to work from 6 a.m. till 9 p.m. That's not the perfect process. The perfect process for achieving this here and now is recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is uttered by such a great authority as Srila Shukadeva Goswami. By hearing about and glorifying the Lord, all a person's activities become molded into spiritual activities, and thus all conceptions of material miseries become completely vanquished. You can be a taxi driver, but if you're hearing about and glorifying Krishna every day, your taxi driving will become pure devotional service, and you'll become free of material misery. You can be a politician, but if you're hearing about and glorifying Krishna, your governance, whatever else you're doing, you're going to your big meetings, whatever, will also become pure devotional service. And if you're living in the temple and you're not doing hearing and chanting correctly, there's another evidence I've got on my webpage. Prabhupada said it will become sense gratification. It will become karmi's work. It's not about where we live. It's about, are we hearing about and glorifying Krishna? If we do that, we'll become free from misery. Will become successful in our endeavors, and all our activities will become pure devotional service. That is why Gita appeared. And the best way to take advantage of the Gita's appearance is to learn how to discuss it scrutinizingly with the help of a devotee, try to understand without personally motivated interpretations. Thank you so much.